provided some guest speakers for XICF because that complements our regular preaching. So I am personally very, very grateful for that. And today we have Pastor Don Smith, that he's already an old friend of XICF. Welcome, Pastor Don. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your provision. Thank you for your message for us. And thank you for your servant. We pray for Pastor Don that you will guide him. And also pray for ourselves that our hearts and our minds will be ready to listen to your message, and that we will be willing to make any change in our lives that you expect from us. And help us, Father, to bring glory to you through this sermon and through our changed lives through the week. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Don.
Amen.
Thank Welcome. You.
Okay. This is a good introduction, because I would like to talk with you today about power for living. When I come here, I'm so impressed with the thought that there are so many nations represented here. I've even thought of recommending a name change for your church. You have Shaman International Christian Fellowship. I think it should be Shaman Global Fellowship. And you have so many representative churches. So good morning to the church from around the world. I'm glad to be with you. Well, that's... I would like to speak with you this morning about the power of God, the power for daily life and living. It's something we all need to know and understand, because we all face challenges, problems, difficulties in our life. And so if there are any here this morning facing overwhelming challenges or problems in your life, then let me say, you're not alone. There once was a man by the name of Zerubbabel. He faced a huge mountain of problems he didn't know how to climb above or over or how to go around. And God called him to oversee the rebuilding of the Temple of Jerusalem. A major, major responsibility, had many difficulties with it. And God had called him at a time when this temple had been one of the wonders of the world. And now, at this time when he's called, it is in rubble. It is in ruin. And he is asked to rebuild this wonderful place for God. And so the Lord offered to him these simple but profound words of hope. And these are the words I want you to remember if you don't remember anything else I say. Hold on to this verse, because it's something that can transform your life. The Lord says to Zerubbabel through the prophet Zechariah, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." That's what I want to speak with you about this morning. This is God's resounding promise to us as well. It is the promise of the Holy Spirit's power in our weakness to overcome the mountains that we face. So let's consider these words and the other words that were spoken through the prophet Zechariah to give that people in that day hope, but also for us today as well here in Xiamen. Now, let me suggest that there's important principles and thoughts we need to have before we get into our text. What we believe to be true about God is the most important thing about us. Our view of God defines whose we are, who we are, and where we're going. And what we believe to be true about God will be tested someday in our trial. Therefore, we must have an adequate, huge, appropriate, the right view of God if we're to live as He called us to live, especially in times that are difficult and times where there's brokenness and weakness. We need to understand who God is and what He's like. So understanding and appropriating the Spirit's power is the key to our spiritual life. Now the Bible makes clear that the Holy Spirit is God. He is God. He's not an impersonal expression of God's power or an it. Sometimes I hear people, well, the Spirit, it, this, it's not an it, it is a He. And the Holy Spirit, He is God. Confusion has also grown up over referring to the Spirit as the Holy Ghost. You've heard that. That causes confusion, I think, because He's not like a friendly ghost that floats around in the air in a white robe going boo. Actually, the word ghost that's translated in some of our translations is simply an old English translation of the word spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that we are referring to. It also hasn't helped to have John 16:13 sometimes translated this way. The Spirit will not speak of Himself. So some read that and say, well, that means that we shouldn't talk about Him because He doesn't want us to talk about Him. But that's not what it says. The proper translation is the Spirit will not speak from His own authority. He will not speak from His own self. Where the Spirit is speaking to us, whatever He has heard from the Father, He will communicate to us and has communicated to us through the Scriptures. The Scriptures is God's divine authority for our life. And the Spirit speaks through God's Word to us. I think it was last week or the week before when I was here, heard Pastor Gabe speak about the Scriptures and the Bible and understanding what we mean by that. But when we talk about the Scriptures, we're talking about God's breath. God breathing through the authors of the Bible, the authors of the Scripture, using their language, but also communicating through them exactly everything that God wanted us to know and believe. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is at the heart of the gospel. To know the Holy Spirit is to enjoy intimate fellowship. He's the one who enables us to have fellowship with the Father. The Spirit works in us in wonderful ways. He personalizes this relationship we have with God. And to be well acquainted with the Holy Spirit is to know the will of God. That's what He reveals to us, the will of God through the Scriptures and through His ministry in our lives. J.B. Phillips, one who wrote a wonderful translation of the New Testament one time, said this: every time we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, we mean that we believe that there is a living God, able and willing to enter human personality and change it. Every time you say you believe in the Holy Spirit, you believe God is personal and that He's in the work of changing us. And that's what He does. He transforms us into the image and likeness of Christ. Sometimes very slow, but nevertheless, the Spirit is at work in us. Now, I want to talk very briefly this morning from the book of Zechariah. The prophet Zechariah was born in a difficult time in the 6th century BC while he was still in Babylonian captivity. And his father was a well-known priest in Israel. Zechariah's name, I think, has significance. It's called the Lord, or the Lord Yahweh remembers. And I think his parents gave him that name to remind him of God's covenant promises. He's always faithful to them. So remember, son, that God will be faithful to you. Remember His promises. Remember God. Early in his life, we read that the Spirit of God clothed him with power to enable him to be this prophet that is being used of God in a mighty way in Jerusalem. This once great city, as I said, was now in shambles, in ruins. And if this nation wanted to regain its greatness, it needed to return to the God who made it great. In fact, these are the very first words from the Lord recorded in that book. You find it in chapter 1, verse 3. Thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me and what? I will return to you. Now, Zechariah, as I said, lived in very difficult, we'd say dark days. And his book was written for those who were living in troubled times, even like what maybe you're going through today. There were perplexing, troubling questions facing this nation. Some were saying, how could this temple be rebuilt when there's such cultural confusion, political infighting, failed leadership, and economic depression? I mean, if you were ever to build, this would not be the time. When you don't have the resources, God said, okay, now's the time to build. You're going to say, Lord, I'd like to reason with you a little bit, because if we waited, we might have an economic upturn. We might have more people. We might be able to do. And the Lord said, no, this is the time I want you to build, because I am going to show you power for living, power for life. And that's what the Lord is going to do. Some had even questioned, had God given up on us? And the answer is very quickly stated in the book of Zechariah. The Lord affirmed to Zechariah in chapter 8, verse 15. Listen to this. I have purposed, I've determined in these days to bring good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not. Brothers and sisters, we need to really make sure that when statements like this are made by God, they're for us too. God was not through with Israel. God is not through with His church today. He had a purpose for Israel that was yet to be fulfilled, and that was to see the coming of the Messiah. God also has a purpose for each of us. Each of us have a purpose that is yet to be fulfilled. So what is the exhortation? Fear not. We all here are here by divine appointment with a purpose from God. You may not know exactly what that purpose is. Like, why am I here? What am I doing? That's okay. The Lord will reveal to you your purpose. But you here by divine appointment, you have a purpose for being here. So what? Don't fear. To prepare Israel for this great purpose of God. God gave 8 visions to Zechariah. We would only look at 1. So what is a vision anyway? A biblical vision reveals God's purpose and plan for His glory and our good. I need to repeat that again. A biblical vision reveals God's purpose and His plan for His glory and our good. He has to reveal that in that vision because of our limited human understanding. So He reveals it in a way that a prophet can understand and that we can teach it and understand great truths. God-given visions that come from His Word, they turn the ordinary into extraordinary so that life can be seen through the eyes of God. Many times we look at our problems through our own eyes. And what do I see? Problems. Mountains. Deserts. Difficulties. Enemies. Therefore, a God-given vision gives us a much-needed perspective to God, to ourselves, and to the day we live in. We need a God-given vision. That's why the Scriptures were written for us, to help us gain God's perspective to our situation and our problems. In chapter 4, we have the 5th vision given to Zechariah the prophet. And it was given as a promise. And it's a promise for us as well. The promise is the promise of the Holy Spirit's power. For Israel at that day was to rebuild the temple. For us, it is God's power to live the life that He's called us to, and many of you in a nation that is not your own. But He's here. You're here by divine appointment. And God has a purpose for what you are doing here, who you are, and where you're going. Zechariah's vision in chapter 4 reads like this. If you have your Bibles, you can look there, or I have it on the screen. Zechariah 4, 1 through 5. And the angel who talked with me came again, and he woke me like a man who is awakened out of sleep. And he said, that is the angel, "What do you see?" And I said, "Well, I see a lampstand all of gold with a bowl on top of it. And 7 lamps on it, with 7 lips or edges on the edge, each lamp that are on top of it. And there are 2 olive trees by it, one on the right and one on the left." And I said to the angel who taught me, "What are these, Lord? I don't understand." Then the angel who talked with me answered me and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" Excuse me, I got ahead of you. "Do you not know these are what they are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." So, the Lord has given to Zechariah a vision. Some of the things he did understand and recognize. Others he did not. Here's our vision. This is the vision, the best I can understand it from the Scriptures. Let me introduce to you what those things are. You probably can see from there. There is the golden lampstand. Then there are those 7, if you would, little lamps on the top. That would be familiar to a priest and to Israel, the golden lampstands. But notice what's above it. It's a bowl. There was no bowl over the 7 lampstand. A golden lampstand in the tabernacle. And notice too that there's branches on both sides. That represents 2 living trees. And what you see here, fascinating. God has an incredible way of expressing to us things we wouldn't understand. There's a lampstand. There are 8 lights, or 7 lights rather. And then there's a bowl up above it. And then on both sides are living olive trees. And what they're doing is flowing their oil into the bowl. And then notice, it's like there's four little PVC pipes going to each of the seven lamps. So what in the world is this all about? Now, as I said, he understood some of these things. He knew about the seven candles that were once in the tabernacle. That one was made with gold as well, because it represented purity and God's eternality. There were seven candles on that lampstand as well. And it also represents God's perfection. It represented God's light and glory in the world. And unlike the stand in the old temple, this one has, I said, has this bowl over it. What in the world is that there for? Well, it served as a reservoir. A reservoir to catch the constant flow of oil coming from these living olive trees that are growing on the right and left. You can see that on the picture there. And coming out of the bowl were seven pipes, let's say PVC pipes, going to each of those candles. Why? Because it guaranteed that each candle had sufficient oil to keep it perpetually, forever burning brightly without the need of a priest or any human effort. It would be like having an electric car today that never needed to stop for a charge because it had two solar panels, one on the right and one on the left. And it kept the energy of the sun flowing into the battery everywhere you went, all day, all night. The lampstand was a symbol of the all-sufficiency of God. The sufficiency of the Holy Spirit that would be available to Israel. That would be available to a man by the name of Zerubbabel, who was in the days of Zechariah. So what we're looking at here is something that is a symbol from a vision that was meant for Zerubbabel's day, Zechariah's day, but is also is carried out throughout all the rest of the New Testament and even into the day. Let's read a little bit more about that vision. He asked, Lord, what does all this mean? Well, the Lord answers him. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. What is it? Not by might, and amen to that. Amen. That is where I received the title for our sermon. Power for Living is promised by God. Where power and might are needed, God will give it. Where you are weak, He will provide the power, the strength to do whatever He calls you to. He will never call you to a job, a responsibility, a duty that He will not give you the power and the resources to do the work. Yes. Amen. So let's consider this a little bit more. By my Spirit, says the Lord, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, a flat place, if you would. And he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace. Grace to it. Now, I can't wait to get to be able to explain that to you. It is so awesome. So let's consider this other part of the continuing part of this vision. The vision was intended to be for a man by the name of Zerubbabel. He was the grandson of one of the kings of Judah. A grandson of King Darius. And this is the man, Zerubbabel, was the man who was appointed as governor. And he led the first group of Israelites out of Babylonian captivity back to Jerusalem. And as governor, he began to rebuild the temple. He was trying to be faithful to his work. He began 20 years before this vision. So without a vision, but still feeling the call to do it, he went ahead and did it. And guess what happened? It stopped. He couldn't do it in his strength. He couldn't do it by the power of the people. They built a foundation, we're told, but the work came to a sudden stop. There was failed leadership again. Overwhelming opposition. Political infighting. And depressed workers. People got depressed when they said, look, we've only got the foundation. And this is all we've done. And look at all that's happening to us. So Zerubbabel thought this job, this task, was impossible to do. And he's right. In his own strength, it was impossible. Sometimes God will present to us a problem, a situation that seems just overwhelming. And it is. But he gives us the impossible so he can show the possible. And the possible is the power and the might of God. So don't be afraid of facing impossible tasks, responsibilities, and problems. From time to time, each of us need a fresh wind in our sails from heaven to carry us on from here. This vision, interestingly enough, has a double fulfillment. First, the vision would be fulfilled in the days of Zerubbabel, but would also find fulfillment 600 years later when guess who came to Jerusalem? Jesus. When Jesus came to the temple, we begin to see the glory of God revealed there. Now, God's promise was straightforward. Not by might, and you could add, not by your might, not by your power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord promised the Spirit's power would be mightier and more powerful than any great army that could ever come against Israel. In Israel's weakness, God's mighty power would be revealed to all the world. You see, in their weakness, in their darkness, God would bring the light, He would bring the power, and He would get the glory, not Zerubbabel. The angel spoke against this mountain, which represented the impossible project. And the angel speaks to the mountain to defy it. The angel says, "And who are you, O great mountain, to stand in the way of God's work?" In this vision, the angel is pointing to a mountain which is like Zion. You can't stand in my way. Those mountains of opposition, he said, would be flattened like the floor of a desert. The angel once again promised, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house 20 years ago. And then he says, but now his hands will also complete it. 20 years of labor and all you got was a foundation. And then the Lord says, now I'm ready to build this thing. Now you're weak. Now you've given up. Now you see no hope in yourself. You see the weakness you're in. Now I'm ready to work. I want to reveal my glory to you. I want to show you my strength. And that's what he did. Now this vision was intended not only for Zerubbabel, but hear me, to any believer who is trying to rebuild his broken life or claim a mountain that stands before you. And so here's what we take away from this vision. Never overestimate the size of mountains that stand in your way. Never overestimate the size of a project. Never overestimate the difficulty that you're facing. And here's the other side of that. And never underestimate God's might and power to flatten any mountain before you. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things. I'm going to add to these mountains, these difficulties. If God is for us, what? Who could be against us? That's what the angel was saying to that mountain. Who do you think you are to try to hinder my work, to stop my work? I love this passage as well, 1 John 4:4. Listen, this is encouragement, brothers and sisters, for the day in which we live. What then shall we say to these things? By things, mountains, difficulties, problems, trials, whatever they are. What do you say to those? If God is for us, who can be against him? And then John says, little children, you are from God and have overcome these things. For he who is in you is what? Greater than he who's in the world. Who's he in us? The Spirit. God in us is greater than anything else the world has against us. That's how you read the Old Testament. That's how you read the New Testament. Look at all the problems they face, the adversity, the persecution. He who is in us is greater than anything out here in the world, greater than any mountain. Because of the hope this vision gave Israel, they completed the rebuilding of the temple just as God promised. Amen? Now I want to just clarify some of these symbols to reinforce this. The lampstand stood as a symbol of the light and glory of God in the world. It was a present as well as a future hope. Israel was chosen to be a light in the world, but its light had dimmed long before. There was no longer a glowing lampstand in the temple because it had been destroyed 70 years before. But now the Lord was going to show his glory again in the temple. And the glory the Lord once had would be nothing compared to the glory to be revealed when Jesus appeared in the temple. He was the light of the world and the glory of God who tabernacled with us. Jesus called us, the church from around the world, to be his light bearers by preaching the gospel and showing practical love in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus announced, "You are the light of the world." We reflect the light of Christ. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put under a basket, but on a stand, like that lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works. And notice why?
Glory.
Give glory, absolutely, brother. Give glory to your Father who's in heaven. That's our goal. That's our purpose. To live for the glory of God. And when you live by the glory of God, you will experience the joy that God has for us. The olive tree represented the ministry of the Holy Spirit that flowed through two living olive trees. The oil is also called golden because it too is precious and incorruptible. The Spirit is the power that keeps the light of Christ glowing in us. We're like those candles. Holy Spirit is coming in. It's in a container and then it flows to each of the seven candles. Every true born again believer has the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that's true? That's one of the definitions of a Christian. God is my Father, Christ is my Savior, and the Holy Spirit is my comforter. If you're a child of God, if you've been born again, you are guaranteed the Holy Spirit. He doesn't come in some other time later. He comes to rebuild us, to bring us new birth, and then he remains in you. He will not depart. He's committed to us to the very end. He who began a good work in you will what? Complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God does not give up on us. It's we are the ones who give up on him. We're the ones who think something's too hard. We're the ones who say that I don't like the opposition. Sometimes we are just plain discouraged. He understands that, but he never gives up on us. I praise God for that. If he would have given up on me because I got discouraged or felt weak or I committed some sin, I wouldn't be here. He remains our constant supply of God's grace. Remember those two olive trees? That represents the Spirit coming through the Zerubbabel and in a priest by the name of Joshua. And they're constantly fed with the Spirit. And that's us as well. These two living olive trees represent the governor, Zerubbabel, as well as Joshua, who is the priest. Zerubbabel built the temple, and Joshua, the high priest, that's not the one in the book of Joshua, this priest brought the purity of the priesthood back again. It had gone into decay and darkness, and he brought it back. So the two olive trees were symbols of how the Holy Spirit would flow through them. And that's what God did. He worked through them to bring about this incredible thing of the work of the Spirit. We're told as well that their success would not be dependent upon their strength, but only by the might and the power of God. By the way, I found it really interesting. It says, not by might, not by strength, but by my Spirit, says who? The Lord of hosts. Who is the Lord of hosts? I believe I could show you it's Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ. Who, if the angel is promising that the Lord is going to give us strength and power by the Spirit, what did Jesus do to his disciples and write for us? He promised us the Holy Spirit. They needed the promise, and we do as well. And here's an amazing thing. We're nearing the end, so hang with me here. It says, and Jerusalem will shout, grace, grace, to the top of the stone on the temple. Now, what is that all about? This was a picture of the day when Israel would celebrate the completion of the temple. The jubilant worshipers would see them putting the top of the temple, the stone on there, and then they would all go, what? Grace, grace. Why would they say grace? Because they knew it had to be by the power and the might of God, not them. It's only by His grace that they completed that project. Well, that capstone, that part of the top of the temple, represented God's glory and His grace. That stone was also a symbol of the coming of Messiah, Jesus Christ. He was not only the cornerstone that we sometimes sing about and talk about of the walls of the temple, but He would also be the capstone, the glory of God who adorns the temple. That's because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And someday, when all of the Christians from around the world, throughout all time, have gathered together in heaven, we will bow before the throne of Christ and we will give a huge shout. And you know what that shout will be? Grace, grace. That would be a good title for a hymn or something. You know that? Amazing Grace or something. Maybe we'll sing something like that. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, the hour I first believed. So let's look at the applications to us. To personally know the Holy Spirit is to enjoy intimate fellowship with God. Are we enjoying fellowship with God? If not, why? We too busy? Has our love grown cold? Have we been spending any time in the Word of God? To be well equipped and acquainted with the Holy Spirit is to know the heart and the power of God. Never overestimate the size of mountains that stand in our way. And never underestimate God's might and power to flatten any mountain that's standing before us. Our success doesn't depend upon our might or our power, but only upon the might and the power of God. God's work, done in God's way, will never lack provision and power. Any of you have come here with broken lives, broken dreams? They can be healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. May His grace empower each of us to consider our purpose for being here and do great things for the glory of God. Why not think that way? Trust God that you're here for a purpose. He desires for you to live by His might and His power. So today, as we close, today, right now, let's pray that the Holy Spirit will fill this place and fill each and every one of us. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's power for living for the rest of our life. Father, thank you for this church, for its history here, for its leadership, for Pastor Gabe and his family, for those who've come from all these nations. You have brought them here together for a wonderful, special purpose. Certainly to glorify you in worship, to build each other up, yes. But Lord, there may be purposes we're not even aware of how you will use the testimony of the people in this church to help bring transformation in other people's lives. We believe in your power and your might. We know that that is made available to us by your indwelling Holy Spirit. If anyone is facing, Father, something that is so overwhelming to them, they don't even know how to go over this mountain or how to go around it or how to even go through it. May you flatten that mountain today for them. May they trust you, your strength, your power, not their own. Bless this place, bless your people, that Christ might be glorified now and forevermore. We all repeat together the words of Israel at the completion of the temple when they saw that stone put up on top. Grace, 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 grace. How amazing it is. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Don. Before we are dismissed, I would like to share something with you, because I would like to invite you to picture in your mind one of the mountains that you may have right now in your own life. And it could have very different shapes. It could be someone else's situation affecting you, or it could be something in your life, whether physical or spiritual. But I can tell you, the Lord can take care of that. Let me quickly share with you, I have this in my heart, very deep, three mountains that I faced, and before my eyes, the Lord flattened those mountains. Could you raise the volume, Leighton, a little bit? Number one, 14 years ago, during Victoria's pregnancy, we were told our baby to be born had a severe heart malformation. And so we were told both here in China and then in America that most likely he would not make it. And while we were here, we were recommended to abort him because it was too serious, non-fixable. Well, yeah, it is true that from the science perspective, it's not fixable. But today, I saw him playing the bass here at stage. Praise God. And what was he doing? He was giving glory to God. Now, he still has the heart condition, but the Lord has given us 14, so far, 14 years of joy with that little man. So the mountain has been flattened before my eyes. A very different type of mountain was when, even though I was already a believer and already a pastor, at some point I betrayed the Lord. And without any excuse, I decided to live in sin. I don't have any good excuse. And at some point, the mountain was not the sin itself, but it was a voice telling me, you are unforgivable. You just don't deserve to be forgiven. That was a tough one. But the Lord had mercy, and he, at some point, after some time, he dissipated that voice, which was a lie, didn't come from God, and he forgave me. And by his grace, I can stand here in all honesty and cleanness of conscience telling you the Lord forgave me. And he allowed me to come back to him. So there was a different type of mountain that by his grace, I can tell you with joy in my heart, it has been flattened. And I praise God for that. I certainly could not save myself from that one. And the third type of mountain, about 4 months ago, I was medically given 2 weeks of life while I was hospitalized in Hong Kong. And did you hear? That was 4 months ago. That mountain was too hard for me to overcome. But again, I got a savior. I did not save myself. And that mountain was flattened down before my eyes and before your eyes also. So I would like to invite you to close your eyes at this moment. I gave you 3 examples of mountains, but it could be a different type. But probably you got your own mountain before your eyes. You name it in your mind. Could be financial, could be legal, could be illness, could be sin, a sinful condition that you have chosen to live in. Could be a relationships problem. Could be loneliness. Could be lack of sense of purpose. Could be whatever. I don't care. Picture that mountain before your eyes. And now keep praying. And I am going to read something that literally says it is the word of the Lord. So you keep praying and I will read what it is described as the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord, not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, great mountain? You shall become plain. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, XICF. See you next Sunday.